And that's one of the things about religion that we have to remember when we're talking about that makes it such a hot topic issue is because we're talking about law. Who gets to be God? Who gets to be God's deputies? Who is the Most High? Who is the divine authority? It's all about the claim to the Most High. The only way that somebody can be higher than us is if we give away our power. Because there's nobody. We're all equal. But we're not equal in our knowledge. So ultimately, I think it does have to be a hierarchy, but it has to be a cooperative hierarchy like a bee colony. It's about what our value system is, what we care about.
Hello, Hive Mind. Today is October 21st, 2020. I am your host, Brandon Martin, and I will be hosting the show solo today, so Nate Cap will not be able to join us. But welcome to the 24th episode of the Cubbyhole Podcast, where important topics are unveiled, discussed, and tested. Our website is cubbyhole.com. That's CubbyWhole.com. Today, we are going to be continuing the topics of mind control and weapons of manipulation. I'll be starting off from where we left the last discussion with Nate about weapons of manipulation. So if you haven't caught up with our most recent episodes, I highly recommend that you go back and listen to them in chronological order. Otherwise, you're not going to get the full tapestry of what we are trying to lay out here. So we're going to be starting off with the technique of obfuscation. Now, I did speak about this with Nathan a little bit on the last episode. I explained how obfuscation is the distortion of principle intended to hide the truth. So it is an intentional act to obscure something, to make it look like something that it is not. I explained how obfuscation is about taking something that is simple and complexifying it to the point that it is unrecognizable or indiscernible. For example, we think that adults, parents, the media, professors, academics, scholars, our teachers, and all of these other categories that we think of as a place that we should be learning the truth are inversely affecting us, because not only have they been manipulated and lied to and put under deep mind control, so they propagate the knowledge, but also some of them are intentionally doing that as well, knowing that they are feeding mind control to people. So we confuse the idea of authority with truth. We think that authority is where we get truth. Not that we have to go on a scientific inquiry into doing our due diligence and doing the hard work to discover the truth. See, this is one of the biggest issues with everything going on. People do not put the truth first. The truth is the most important thing. My service here is to truth itself. It's to no man. I'll kneel before no individual or groups of individuals, whether from this plane of existence or this planet or other planes of existence or other planets, it doesn't matter. I will kneel before no one. And my service itself is to the whole, to the all, and it is to truth itself. So the reason why this is so important is because it plays a major factor in how we behave and how we deal with the vast amount of mind control that is directed towards us each day. So we really need to understand that putting the truth at the forefront at the foundational essence of our everyday journey will serve us the best, not only as an individual, but also as a species. This is how we evolve ourselves. This is how we will stimulate new neural development in the brain. This is how we will stimulate the evolution of the brain and how we will stimulate the evolution of consciousness, which ultimately will take its effect in the evolution of the brain, because, you know, the brain is simply the manifested result of what's going on in consciousness. So if we evolve our consciousness, then our anatomy will evolve along with it. And that's what we are trying to do. We're trying to get out of this cycle of manipulation, get out of this cycle of believing in dogma, so that we can transcend into the light of a new being, into the light of a new world, and really change the way that we are creating our reality. Because we are reality creators at a certain level. We are creating our own condition right now. So we have to take that power back, because the only way someone has power over you is if you give that power to them. That's how they have power over you. And that's what they do. They manipulate you into a form of giving that power over. I'm hesitant to say the word consent, because legitimately it's not consent, because it's based on coercion, manipulation, lies, deceit. But we do, at a certain level, voluntarily give over our power. And some people voluntarily give it over, even knowing what it's doing, even knowing the negative consequences. And those are some of the worst people. Mind control becomes the great dictator of our everyday being. It becomes the puppet master of our own choices each day. It dictates the way that we run our lives. And dictate simply means to repeat, to do over and over, to speak over and over again. So this is also how mind control works. It's through repetition. They do things over and over and over and over until it sticks in the minds. Why do you think they run these advertisements on TV over and over and over and over? And it's always about fear. Fear of not having something. Fear of scarcity. Fear of protection. There's always some type of fear tied in with how they are emotionally manipulating you. Because if they can play off your primal modes of consciousness, if they can play off of that fear, then you are very susceptible to being controlled. But we need to put first things first. That's what principle means, is that which comes first. So the truth must come first. That's before anything else. The truth is the first principle. And it should be the prime driver in an individual's mind and everyday activity. What is the truth? I see people running around and they never ask this question, what is the truth? And this leads into solipsism for a lot of people, because a lot of people don't even believe there is such a thing as truth. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they're being manipulated. It's not true. They can just say it's not true. None of that matters, as long as they are getting what they want, as long as they feel comfortable in the place that they are in. It's not even just about getting what they want, like physically. It's also about psychologically. So it's about them, you know, getting comfort, so they don't ever have to get beyond their cognitive dissonance, their ego barriers that are preventing them from actually recognizing what is going on in the world, and especially what is going on within themselves, which is what is leading to the co-creation of our current suffering. Okay, so getting back to the main topic. Obfuscation is the intentional obscuring of the meaning of the message to make it very difficult to understand, usually using confusing and ambiguous language as the way to get this effect done. Now, some people might be like, well, why are we studying mind control? Why are we looking into these things? Isn't that something that we don't want to look into because it is negative? No, absolutely not. And I don't know how many more times that I have to say it on here, but one of the main things that we have to do in order to make a change is look at the negative, because without understanding the components of negativity, then we cannot understand the components of positivity. We cannot create a change. It's not the positive stuff that we want to change. It's the negative that we want to transmute into something positive. So the only way that we can change and transmute those negatives into a positive is by understanding their essence, by understanding how they work. If we do not understand how mind control works, then we are obviously going to be manipulated by it when we encounter it. And in our current world, we are saturated with mind control every single day. So going back to our last episode with Nate, we spoke about the obfuscation of the word occult, where if you ask most people what the word occult means in one word, what's the first thing that comes to their mind? Most people will say something evil or negative or black magic or sorcery, something along the lines that implies a negative trait. And people look at this unidirectionally. They only see things in one way. And yes, some things are one way, but when it comes to this, it is not one way. There are two sides to the occult. There is both the light occult and the dark occult. And I will further explain the differences between the light occult and dark occult in a future solo episode. So we tend to ostensibly think that authority always teaches us truth, that they have our best interest in their minds and hearts, that they are always going to give us the information that we need, because why wouldn't they? Wouldn't they do exactly what I would do or you would do in that situation when you have critical knowledge for other people that they need to make a change in their lives? Because I know I would definitely give information out that is needed to any individual, especially when it comes to things like helping to end slavery, helping to end suffering, or helping one to understand themselves at a fundamental level, understand their purpose, any of these things. Well, no. Authority, in fact, uses techniques like obfuscation to make sure that individuals are suppressed and kept down with what they know. This is what the dark occultists do. They create a power differential by either completely withholding that knowledge or obfuscating that knowledge to the point where it is unintelligible. So what we're trying to do here is learn how to deal with obfuscated information. How do we get beyond that? How do we see what is actually there? How do we penetrate beyond this obfuscation veil of ambiguity and confusing terms that are intended to manipulate us so that we cannot come to an understanding or an accurate understanding of truth? Well, I would go back to my earlier episodes about the trivium. And I personally, when coming in contact with obfuscation, use this scientific method to make sure to limit the possibilities of being manipulated. Now, obfuscation plays off of the emotions. It plays on people's gullibility and naivete. Since when an individual is in the receptive mode, they tend to be in the right brain more. Their defenses tend to be down a little bit. So they don't have a healthy form of skepticism when it comes to somebody telling them something, or especially when it comes from an authority figure. Until you realize how easy it is for your mind to be manipulated, you remain the puppet of somebody else's game. Now let's take a look at that word game. Now, on this podcast, we'll be breaking down words in two ways. The first way is etymologically, or its direct definitive definitions and origins. And the other way is through green language, or what's also called the language, what's also called the language of the birds. I like to call it the emerald language or synchromysticism. So the word game, let's break it down. Well, we have G first, and that G synchromystically is associated with the generative principle, that which we care about, where we spend our time and attention, where are we directing our care and our actions, our thoughts and our emotions. Now, if we phonetically pronounce the last three letters as one word, we get the word aim. So we are aiming our G, our generative principle. Are we going to hit the mark or not? That mark is truth and morality. We can see now that games are about directing the generative principle. It's about directing our time and attention. It's about directing our care. And for most people, they literally are aiming their generative principle, their time and attention, their spiritual currency or energy, towards things that are not helping to end slavery or suffering. One of the main reasons why humanity continues to suffer is because it has not fully understood the underlying causality of what is manifesting that result. Or in other words, it is our inability to recognize truth from falsehood. Too many people believe in the mind control, in the propaganda, in the manipulation tactics, because they have not trained themselves to be able to understand when that is being done upon them and how to actually deal with manipulation, not only on an individual level, in your common social demographic, but also on a, you know, political level and a geo level, at a mass level. So we need to recognize how we as individuals learn to deal with these things. For most people, they don't learn to deal with these things. They revert into means of escapism and never actually fine-tune their skills with their tools. When one fully comes to understand the truth and their spiritual eye turns on, they will see through and pierce through the haze of obfuscation. I mean, the reason why a lot of this goes unchallenged is because it goes unseen. It is occulted. And just to do a little rehash, occult simply means hidden knowledge. That's all it means. It means hidden from the sight, hidden from the eye. And that includes the spiritual eye, too. I'm going to keep saying it over and over. We must have a generalized understanding of what the occult is and what it contains for us to ever make a change holistically in our world. So when the occult becomes common sense, we then will have the potential to be free. Doesn't mean we're going to be free at that point, because we could still have all the knowledge and lack the understanding of it. But we at least have to have the knowledge to be able to know what we're dealing with and start to understand it and then put it into effect, put it into application, and utilize it in our daily lives. This is why certain types of information is withheld from us by the dark occultists, because they know that if this knowledge became common sense, that their entire game, their entire power structure would start to collapse. If people started to apply natural law principles daily and become completely steadfast with how they approach their principles under natural law and objective morality, the name of the game is control. I mean, they're not calling it mind control for no reason. It is literally about the control of the mind, which controls the behaviors of the individuals. So their game, where they're aiming their G at, is to control the masses by influencing and socially engineering them so that we accept slavery and the worst kinds of human conditions that we could ever experience in the face of our true human potential. I mean, anybody who thinks that this condition that we are currently in is acceptable for a healthy, growing civilization has to be out of their goddamn mind. We really have to start raising our consciousness so that we can align our thoughts, emotions, and actions so that as we think, so we feel, and so we act. This is the way that we will create change, is by becoming a non-internal dualistic being. Internal dualism is one of the things that we are fighting, and this is what mind control does, is it tries to create a schism in the brain. It creates cognitive dissonance and a way of putting the mind into fractures, you could say. And we see a lot of this being utilized in some of the modern day mind control tactics such as MK Ultra, where they're creating altars. Now, I will have a show about MK Ultra and the history of it and some of the other tactics that are used. Now another big target for obfuscation obviously was the term anarchy. Now, if you go and you ask a general group of people what anarchy stands for or what it means, you're probably, especially depending on where you're at, if you go to a church, if you go to a school, if you go to a business, if you go to places like this and you generally ask your common person what the word anarchy means, they will most likely come back with the term chaos or disorder. Some may even go as far to say violence. And even beyond that, some may escalate all the way up to calling it terrorism. And to the same group of people, you ask them what comes to their mind when they hear this statement, no masters, no slaves. Guaranteed that they most likely will say freedom or something pertaining to liberty. But when we take a look at the actual definitive definition of the word anarchy, what do we find? Well, let's etymologically break it down. Anarchy is from the Greek prefix an, which means without, or the absence of, and it is combined with the Greek noun archon, which means master or ruler. So anarchy does not mean without rules. It literally means without rulers, without masters. No masters, no slaves. Anarchy means the absence of slavery. Or, in other words, it does mean freedom by this definition. Now I'm going to pull out my dictionary and give you the dictionary definition of anarchy. Now this is coming from the American Dictionary of the English Language, Noah Webster, 1828. It gives you the proper Greek breakdown of an, which means without, or the absence of, and the Greek noun archon, which means master or ruler. But then it goes directly into stating a state of society in disorder, where there is no law or supreme power, or when the laws are not efficient and the individuals do what they please with impunity. It also states political confusion. Now we can see right there how the definition is dramatically different from what the etymological definition is. The thing is that they're kind of right at a certain level. It is about disorder for the state, because what we want is a stateless society. It's about disorder for the controllers who seek to govern our minds and thus govern what we are manifesting with them. This is why people get it confused with chaos and disorder, because people rely upon government as their all-savior and protector, the creator of order, when in fact it is the exact opposite. It is actually the creator of disorder and chaos, because its only means to an end is by using coercive force against the people to make them comply through fear of punishment with all of these laws and regulations. So this is how obfuscation works. They incrementally, over time, change the definitions in the dictionaries. And yes, this has been done. If I go further back into a good Greek dictionary, then I'm going to find a more accurate term. And I have 3 or 4 dictionaries sitting in my house, and they all give you different etymological breakdowns of this word. And you're going to find this quite a bit. So you have to use your wisdom, you have to use your discernment to be able to really come to an accurate understanding of what the definition really is. And that is by breaking down the word into its constituents so that we can find out how they work together and what are the ideas trying to be passed through the word that we are speaking. Now, it is true that the overwhelming vast majority of people have no idea what this word really means, including the self-proclaimed anarchist community. There are so many different flavors of anarchism now. It's just a mixing pot of dogma and falsehood. But just because someone claims to be a true anarchist doesn't make it true. In truth, anarchy has nothing to do with violence, chaos, terrorism, disorder, theft, vandalism, riots, pseudo-revolutions, or any action that destroys or harms another being's freedom or their natural innate rights. Anarchy, by its very definition, cannot be any forms or claims of the ownership of another being's mind, property, body, and product of labor, or any aspects of their rightful expressions as a being of nature. Now, one thing that anarchy doesn't really guarantee is that you put truth first as its foundational principle. You could not be a slave and still not have the whole aspect of the generative principle activated. So we do have to recognize that we have to understand we need the mystery schools, the mystery traditions, in conjunction with this idea of no masters, no rulers. Otherwise, we won't truly ascend. Yes, we need to end slavery, but there's also levels of expression and evolution that we can go beyond that also. And to get to those levels, we must first get in harmony with natural law and understand objective truth and morality. Otherwise, we'll never be able to reach those potentials. Now, I will be coming back to the topic of anarchy in a future episode. But I just want to make it clear that I like to add spiritual in front of anarchy. So spiritual anarchy, so that we can create more clarity in the definitions, so that we can combine the spirit and matter principle, the sacred masculine and sacred feminine principle, because we do need to understand that this is a spiritual journey, and one could not be a slave and still want slavery for other people. So we have to look at anarchy in its holistic definition rather than a unidirectional, like selfish definition where you're just looking at it from your own eyes, where you can be an anarchist, but you get to do whatever you want to do onto other people. With true freedom and true anarchy involves other people, because freedom involves other people. You know, slavery involves other people. If you're just one person on a planet, if you're completely alone, you know, you cannot be enslaved by another then. If there's nobody else in that universe, nobody else in that construct, nobody there besides you, then you cannot really be a slave to another being. You know, so you have freedom and anarchy and slavery all have to do with other people and with other beings, other spiritual travelers that are co-creating this reality with us. This is why we have to understand these principles. We have to heal the psychological pathologies such as solipsism, because we really need to get into the understanding that we are interacting with other beings here, and that because of that, there are boundary conditions that are set by nature or by God itself, however you want to look at it, so that we can grow and cooperate and voluntarily work together and develop and evolve and move forward as a species. But for those interested in the topic of anarchy, I would highly recommend some authors like Larkin Rose, Benjamin Tucker, Josiah Warren, Lysander Spooner, and from there I'm sure you could get a good grip over the details of what anarchy is. That's another thing that I see in the anarchist movement, is a lot of people who claim to be anarchist do not actually read anything about anarchy. They don't know any of these people that I just named. It really does take on this form of adolescence, and it really does seem like it's just for people who want to do whatever they want without suffering the consequences. But as we just pointed out, it simply means freedom. And for freedom to come into existence, we have to meet the requirements based upon natural law principles to manifest that condition. So I'm going to read a section out of the book called The End of All Evil by Jeremy Locke, or Locke, depending on how you want to pronounce his last name. This is chapter 2, called Earth, in the section Principle versus Law. So this is on page 9. To understand how evil controls people, it is necessary to understand the difference between principle and law. A principle is a truth that creates freedom. A law is a lie that creates slavery. Principles describe reality. They are knowledge that help you to make use of your world. Because of your intelligence, you recognize principles in everything you do. Every true thing you learn is a principle. The movements of your hands, which foods taste good, mathematics, and empathy for a friend are all based on principles. Laws, that is, lowercase laws, man's law, are artificial ideas created by evil men to restrict the thinking and understanding of people. Laws mask themselves in authority so that they can impersonate principles. When people mistake law for principle, their freedom is restricted. When people mistake truth for the ideas of authority, their abilities and their wisdom are diminished. This is the purpose of law. An example of principle can be found in thermodynamics. A liquid is cooler than a gas. This is a principle. Because this is a principle, it does not restrict us, but enables us. Using this principle, we can condense and expand a substance between gas and liquid to create refrigeration. With this principle, we have more understanding and more power. Principles are truths that create freedom. An example of law can be found in the culture of royalty. A commoner owes homage to the king. This is a law. Because this is a law, it destroys freedom and enslaves. Under this law, a person must neglect usage of their own minds, their speech, and their actions. They must believe that they are worth less than the king. Notice that unlike principle, there is no truth in law. It is entirely possible to disrespect the king and therefore to break the law. Law must be enforced because there is no truth in it. A law destroys freedom because it is a lie. A principle, however, creates freedom because it is knowledge. That which destroys freedom is evil. So as we can see, all of this pertains exactly to what I was talking about. Now I'm going to go ahead and continue into the next section, simplicity, because I feel that there is some valuable information. I mean, the whole book is so crucial for people to actually have a copy of. I mean, you can't find this book for less than like $800 or $900. I don't have a physical copy, but I have multiple backup PDF copies of this book, and I've printed out a few copies as well. So I recommend getting this book immediately, especially if you are more interested in understanding natural law and the differences between man's law and natural law. So to continue, the world is simpler than it pretends. So this is in reference to the truth being simple. And this is also in reference to obfuscation. Complexities are found in every aspect of our cultures, politics and economics. Every day people are introduced to new ideas, new spin, new views, or a new symptom of our world. Many of these ideas are perversions of principle designed to engineer specific reactions from people. Evil societies invent ideas to destroy the free thinking of people. Some of history's names for these ideas have been socialism, fascism, racism, communism, democracy, class warfare, political correctness, propriety, decency, royalty, and terrorism. All of these ideas are created for exactly the same purpose. They are all vehicles to confuse the minds of victims of slavery. They are all evil. You are capable of understanding everything in this world around you. Your intelligence is not limited. Distortions and complexities are introduced into your understanding so that evil men can control you. Evil wants you to believe that you are incapable of understanding your own world. When you understand the magnitude of your own worth, evil will fail. There are two principles relevant to understanding the concept of intelligence. The first is simplicity. The principle of simplicity states that intelligence recognizes truth. When any truth is presented in pure form, all people are capable of understanding it. There is no truth that you cannot learn. This is the principle of simplicity, that intelligence recognizes truth. The second principle is the principle of obfuscation. Obfuscation is the distortion of principle. Obfuscation is the creation of a false idea in order to hide truth. Sometimes this is simply adding ideas on top of truth to disguise the nature of the original truth. Even ideas that seem entirely appropriate can be used to bury simple truths. Obfuscation is used by evil to confuse the minds of people. Obfuscation distorts principles so that people will be unable to learn. Evil uses obfuscation so that you will be unable to gain wisdom. It does this to limit your freedom. Culture knows that people will discover fewer truths if they are focused on artificial complexities. As children grow, they learn that seemingly complex ideas are actually basic and simple principles. What may have seemed impossible to understand at one point becomes wonderful once understood. It is good to gain wisdom. With wisdom, you can do anything. Your search for knowledge will become easier for you as you shed any notions of your own inferiority. Evil uses obfuscation to make people feel inferior. You are not inferior to other people, and you are not inferior to ideas. You have infinite worth. So what he's saying here is that principles are truths that we discover in nature, that we recognize and apply in our own lives. Principles are based in conscience. When a being has fully come to the conscious understanding of what the correct behavior should be, they live in harmony with that principle. Man's law is intended to control others through fear of punishment rather than true knowledge into natural law and into the science of morality. Law strives to create obedience based on a dynamic of fear of punishment. Man's law can be seen as the inversion of the recognition of principles. So this is that obfuscation that we're talking about. We are obscuring principles with a proxy system known as man's law, which is there to cover up and hide the true capital L law, which is natural law, or we could just say the law. So as we can see, man's law is based in the low frequency modality of consciousness known as fear, and principles are based in a high frequency consciousness, which is about understanding and it's about knowledge. So it's about having the knowledge and correctly understanding that knowledge. Another way that things get obfuscated is through the hierarchical compartmentalization tactic. Now, I believe Nate spoke on this as he started this topic. This is exactly what we see in our world, is a coercive hierarchical compartmentalization. But it all serves under one agenda, under one centralized control system. And the way that they keep that from people recognizing that it is all interconnected is through obfuscation. So think of obfuscation as a beautiful, exquisite mask coming at you. Extremely aesthetically pleasing and welcoming. But when the mask is removed, it's this zombified, rotting creature underneath. That's how obfuscation works, is it is the mask over top of that rotted being. So I found this quote to be quite accurate. Phil Rockstrow has said, "The authoritarianism inherent to this structure is antithetical to the concept of rights and liberties of the individual. Most individuals bound by secrecy, prone, hierarchical values will, over time, lose the ability to display free thinking, engage in civic discourse, and even be able to envisage the notion of freedom." And this is what Nate was talking about with the death of the imagination, because most people cannot even imagine a state different than what we currently have. Another thing that they obfuscate is dominion with the fear of punishment. A person in true dominion is a person who has activated the yin and the yang forces within themselves, unified the sacred masculine and sacred feminine aspects of themselves, which include the left and right brain. They have raised their consciousness and raised their frequency into the solar mind and harmonized with the higher agape frequency, meaning the higher love. So they're not acting out of fear, they're acting out of love. There is a huge difference in consciousness and the effect it has in the physical plane when one is acting out of fear compared to when one is acting out of love. When a person in dominion takes an action, they have for themselves come to recognize natural law, and they understand that the action they're going to take is in harmony with natural law principles. Rather than a mindless, unintelligible action based in fear, which is the only thing that you understand is, hey, I'm going to be punished either through a fine, like financially, or actually physically, where your body may be in jeopardy, you might get thrown in a prison, definitely at risk of being shot. So we do have to recognize the difference between these types of actions, and this is why they seek to obfuscate it. Another thing that they obfuscate is gnosis with belief. They obfuscate the idea that direct experience is somehow equal to belief. So you could believe anything and it becomes direct experience. And there is a dramatic difference between having a direct experience of natural law and even just believing in natural law. Even though we all have had direct experience of natural law, there's a difference between being conscious of that direct experience or being unconscious of that direct experience. You cannot do the right thing by accident. This is because a right action means that you have correctly understood that the action is right. It means that you have to be conscious of the true moral compass that is telling you whether the action is correct or not. And we also have to look at the consequences of that action to tell. So it's a little bit utilitarian when it comes to consequences, because there is some utilitarian purpose when it comes to not receiving negative consequences. But we have to be very careful with utilitarianism. We don't want to become Borg mind. So, and maybe I'll give a little allegorical breakdown of the Borg in the future, but back on topic. So gnosis can be defined as understanding based on the direct experience of a thing or an event that has taken place. So you don't believe that this has happened. You know it has happened because you actually experienced that event. But it's even more than just knowing that it had happened. It's the correct understanding of what has happened, because our perceptions can waver dramatically away from the truth. Just because you've experienced something doesn't mean that you've correctly understood what you have experienced. So that's why I say it is the correct understanding of an event that has taken place that you have personally experienced. Belief, which is what all religions are based off of, is about being gullible enough to blindly believe in what somebody else has told you that has come before you. So the idea here is that one person has stuck their hand in the boiling pot of water and they have gnosis of being burned from that pot of water, boiling pot of water, And then that person tells another person that it will burn them, and that person believes them that it will burn them, but they have no direct experience of that. And this is why I always tell people, you should not believe anything that I'm saying. Don't believe anything you've heard on this podcast. Go out and do the research for yourself and experience it yourself. Look back on the experiences of your lives and become conscious of the possible experiences that you've already had that can help explain these things further. The next one is individuality is obfuscated with culture. Now, this is a big one, and I would highly recommend reading the chapter or segment in that book, The End of All Evil, on culture. And if I have the time, I will read it, but I don't think I'll have the time. All the value within us as a species is carried also within the individual. This makes me think of the quote from Robert Anton Wilson. Groups are grammatical fictions. Only individuals exist, and each individual is different. And then I think there was a great quote by... There's a great statement that Terence McKenna said over and over. Culture is your enemy. It is not your friend. And I would have to agree with this. Culture seeks to consume you and turn you into it. It wants to mold you in its image, when in fact it should be the individuals that are creating culture. But because of the power dynamic and what goes on within culture and who runs everything in culture, we have a dramatic different effect from that, where everybody is molded because of the culture that they are in. The individual is unique. It is a unique expression of consciousness, one of a kind, but also connected to the all and connected to the many. So you can't have the two without the one. You can't have a group without a single individual. And that's why Anton Wilson is saying that they are grammatical fictions, because they really don't exist. All that really exists are the individuals, the unique components that make up the whole. That's what really exists. Now, this is not to be taken to the extreme of solipsism, where people only think there is one individual, which would kind of be a antithetical statement, because the idea to be an individual means that you've been individuated from something else. So there would have to be something else for you to be an individual in itself. But the point is that you might take it in the solipsism, and we don't want to take it in the solipsism where you think that you are alone by the self, which is pretty much just a God complex run amok. So like I said, culture tries to get you to mold to its preferences and what it thinks to be right and true. So often, more often than not, but not always, but more often than not, what it is trying to teach you and get you to do that it's saying is right is actually not correct. Now, the culture doesn't have to be this way. It can be changed. It's just a condition. But the point is that currently the culture that we are in tries to teach us to do a lot of things based on moral relativism rather than objective morality. It is that way because of the people who came before us and the people who control everything. But most people just go along with it to get along, right? That's the saying, go along to get along. But really, we're not getting along. And we can see this. We're living in chaos. And this is because people don't really understand their individual sovereignty. They don't understand the spiritual laws that govern the behavioral consequences that we receive here. And until we get that, we're not going to make a change. And I'm going to continue to repeat that over and over, because this is really about changing things. I mean, that word is also synchromistic in a way too, because what do we say? We say we put our time and attention on things. We pay attention to something and we spend time on it. And what do we get in return? We get change in return. So what we put our time and attention onto will determine what kind of change we're going to get, you know, depending on what the exchange will be, right? So I just thought that was kind of interesting. So what they try to teach you is that culture is your individual identity, but that's not the true individual identity. The true identity of the capital S self, the higher self, and the real self is pure consciousness experiencing itself in a multitude of forms. Another one, which is kind of self-obvious, is obfuscating truth with lies. They will tell you the most ridiculous lies, and then they become somehow magically the arbiters of truth. So they can just make it up as they go along. It has to do with moral relativity and solipsism. And it's just this whole bogus idea that one gets to govern what the truth is and that they own the truth. They have some claim of ownership over the truth. And then you must obey and believe their truth because they are superior to you. Another obfuscation technique is obfuscating good with evil. So they will convince you that the most evil and absurd actions are actually good for you. And then you'll go out and do them over and over and over and over. I'll keep doing this, kind of like a hamster in a wheel, but expecting one result, but keep getting another result. The dark occult sorcerers want you to believe that you can actually get good things by doing things that are harmful to others. And this is about ego attachment, because people egoly identify with their patterns in their lives, with the programs that they're basing their entire paradigm off of. So people become attached to the way that they are doing things because it's their comfort zone. And even if you show them that it's the wrong way, that it's not going to get them their result, sometimes they'll even fight you tooth and nail to the end before they will change that behavior. Okay, folks, that is all we have time for on this episode of The Cubbyhole. So we have got through all the techniques of obfuscation that I wanted to cover. Obviously, there are so many more that we could cover, but I feel like that's the general basic ones that you do need to have a grip over. Now, the next episode, I will be moving into the next methods of manipulation, and I will be going through them a bit quicker than this one. A couple of them I might linger on a little bit longer, but we should get through them pretty quickly. I hope you found clarity and value in this show today, and you can find more shows, presentations, and news here at the Cubbyhole website, cubbyhole.com, CubbyHole.com. Also, please make sure to keep your eyes out for future shows as we go further into mind control. And as for now, a new show comes out every Monday at 6 p.m. PT, that's Pacific time, and every Friday at 12 p.m. PT. Stay tuned for more. Thank you, and keep transcending dogma.